I wished that I hadn't seen flashes of that other self in her, because I did not want to follow the chain of consequence that sprang from it. Molly had broken the laws of magic. She'd inflicted incalculable harm on others. Her damaged psyche could collapse on her, leaving her insane. All of which meant that she was dangerous, ticking bomb dangerous. It did not matter to the laws that she had meant well. She had become exactly the kind of person that the laws of magic and their sentence were created to deal with. But when the law fails to protect those it governs, it's up to someone else to pick up the slack. In this case, me. There was a chance that I could save her life. It wasn't an enormous chance, but it was probably the best shot she was going to get. Assuming, of course, that she was not already too far around the bend. I only knew one sure way to find out. I stopped in the darkened hall and turned to her. Molly, do you know what a soul gaze is? I read in a book that it's when you look into someone's eyes, you see something about who they are. Close enough, I agreed. You ever done it? She shook her head. The book said it could be dangerous. Can be, I confirmed, though probably not for the reasons you'd think. When you see someone like that, Molly, there's no hiding the truth about who you are. You see it all, good and bad. No specifics, usually, but you get a damned good idea about what kind of person they are. And it's for keeps. Once you've seen it, it stays in your head, fresh, period. And when you look at them, they get the same look at you. She nodded. Why do you ask? I'd like to gaze on you, if you're willing to permit it. Why? I smiled a little, though my reflection in a passing window looked mostly sad. Because I want to help you. She turned away, as if to start walking again, but only swayed in place, her torn skirts whispering. I don't understand. I'm not going to hurt you, kid, but I need you to trust me for a little while. She nodded, biting her lip. Okay, what do I do? I stopped and turned to face her. She mirrored me. This might feel a little weird, but it won't last as long as it seems. Okay, she said, that lost child tone still in her voice. I met her eyes. For a second, I thought nothing had happened, and then I realized that the soul gaze was already up and running, and that it showed me Molly, standing and facing me, as nothing more than she seemed to be. But I could see down the hall behind her, and the church's windows held half a dozen different reflections. One was an emaciated version of Molly, as though she'd been starved or strung out on hard drugs, her eyes aglow with an unpleasant, fey light. One was her smiling and laughing, older and comfortably heavier, children surrounding her. A third faced me in a gray warden's cloak, though a burn scar, almost a brand, marred the roundness of her left cheek. Still another reflection was Molly as she appeared now, though more secure, laughter dancing in her eyes. Another reflection showed her at a desk, working. But the last reflection of Molly wasn't the girl. Oh, it looked like Molly, externally. But the eyes gave it away. They were flat as a reptile's, empty. She wore all black, including a black collar, and her hair had been dyed to match. Though she looked like Molly, like a human being, she was neither. She had become something else entirely, something very, very bad.